Good morning, and welcome to Focus 580. This is our telephone talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you listening this morning. We're also pleased to have back here on the program the man we like to call our chef in residence. Doyle Moore is his name. And every month on a Wednesday, we do this show about food and cooking. And we have done many different sorts of things on the program. We've talked about particular dishes and how different people approach them in different ways. We've talked about cooking from different parts of this country and different parts of the world. We always have a good time exchanging cooking stories and tips and recipes. And sometimes, actually a goodly number of times, the topic has been suggested by a listener, and that's what we're doing here this morning. Because the last time we were here, a listener called and said, you know, sometimes when I go to the store and I go down the produce aisle, I see things that are unfamiliar, or maybe not necessarily unfamiliar. You look at them and you know what they are, but you really would be hard-pressed to come up with some dish that used them. So we thought, well, let's do that. Let's talk about those unusual produce items, things that are there now in the store. You'd see them and you think, what the heck do I do with this? And we mentioned a few things specifically, things like eggplant. I said chayote because I've been seeing that in the store, and I think, well, this is interesting. It's attractive. What do I do with this? Fennel was one of the another ones that I mentioned that was big in Italian cooking, but a lot of people in this country maybe haven't really used it. And maybe there's one that you have. So you can help us out by calling us. Maybe you have a good recipe to share, or maybe there is some item, you know, some thing that you say, yeah, I've seen this, and I'd like to know, what do I do with that? And we will try to come up with a recipe. Maybe another listener can contribute a recipe. So, as always, we'll try and have a good time. I'm sure we will by the time we finish up. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Also, we have a toll-free line. That one's good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. So, 333-WILL and toll-free, 800-222-WILL. By the way, this show is made possible in part by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant. Homemade pies by Inge, gourmet foods, cards, and gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Zimmer Arts Gallery, and Vintage Street Suites. They're all housed in the same building in downtown Monticello. Well, welcome back.
Yes, thank you very much.
Glad to have you here.
Here we are in March.
Well, the calendar says it's March. I'm still not quite sure what season it is. Is it spring? Is it winter? I don't know. I get up this morning and it's the 7th of March and the wind chill is 10. And I think, you know, I think by this time it's supposed to be getting a little warmer.
You look out, you didn't see the sun, and you went back to bed for 6 weeks.
Believe me, I would. There are many days if I could do that, I would. Me and the missus and the cat. We would just all say, okay, fine, we'll just sleep for a little longer. Well, anyway, we have a caller all ready to go.
Oh, well, let's just
let's
just talk to the first person that wants to call.
Okay, here on our line number 4 there in Clinton. Hello.
Yes, Doyle and David, I'm here at Clifton, Illinois.
Oh, Clifton, okay.
And that's a little bit north of you, about 60 miles, I guess, as the crow flies north of Champaign-Urbana.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, I grow quite a few vegetables up here, but I was interested in the okay vegetables. I'm talking about okra and kohlrabi.
Oh yes.
And kohlrabi.
Yes. And kohlrabi.
I do use them, but then I'm wondering what suggestions you might have.
Well, how do you use the kohlrabi? I have some thoughts about okra. I'm prepared for okra, but how do you use the kohlrabi?
And I use it. You can eat it raw. You can peel the skin off. Of course, it looks like something from outer space.
It does, doesn't it? With all those funny chunks lying on top of it. It's kind of like a turnip with the leaves that grow all over the bulb.
On the outside.
Yeah, on the outside.
And, well, one secret with the kohlrabi, I think, is, of course, not let it get too big. In other words,
it gets woody if it gets larger, yes.
Well, some varieties, yes. And so I'm get it about the size of a golf ball, I guess, and that's when you can let it get bigger if you want, but I eat it raw and then also I chop and dice it up in salads.
Yes.
And beyond that, yes, you can cream it, and But I don't know. I called in to get your idea.
Well, all right.
I mean, I'll share mine with you.
I have an idea for you, so I'll talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think at this point, unless you got a question for me, I think I'll just hang up and listen.
No, we'll just talk about kohlrabis.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. There are several vegetables that sort of are interchangeable in at least attitude rather than specific taste. And instead of just the kohlrabi is a nice crisp fresh taste, but you might try sautéing it a little bit. I think for the kohlrabi, I would parboil it just a little bit, chop it up in dice and parboil it a little bit, and then sauté it in butter or oil, and add onion and corn to it, fresh corn off the cob or frozen corn, and then at the very end, pour cream over that just before you're ready to serve it. And that's very much a recipe from the Southwest where corn is mixed with these kinds of vegetables that are squash or turnip or root like, and that would be pretty good. I think if you wanted to sort of make an exciting new taste with all of that, I would put in a can of green chilies, not the hot ones, but just a can of green chilies, and that will add a nice flavor to it. Mm. So that would be one thing with the kohlrabi. I remember the reason I kind of laugh at that was there was a time when Pogo, if you remember Pogo, when Pogo thought that it was a malady of a sort, and it was called cold robbies. He said, "Oh man, I got a case of the cold robbies." And so for a long time, they played on that particular word. For okra, I would. You can do just the regular old Southern style of okra, but I would by that I mean. Drenched in cornmeal and then fried with a little bit of bacon fat's what you want, but oil, but quite a bit of that, and then it's cooked slowly, and it's pretty tasty that way. But my favorite way of cooking okra is to, of course, get it when it's only about an inch and a half or under 2 inches long, so it's a tiny piece, and to cook it in the Indian manner, which is a kind of a stew along with the aromatic spices and tomato and onion and pepper, and then this the Indian dish is called bindi, which means lady fingers, and is an extraordinarily tasty thing because it really ends up being a kind of a vegetable ragout, and it's really quite good. And I like to cook that most of all. It's the way I like to cook because it's fast. I can do it in the wok, and it's an instant thing, and it's just so exotic that I enjoy those very rich flavors of cumin and coriander and hot pepper and, let's see, and asafoetida and pepper, black mustard seeds that you pop in the oil. Mm-hmm. All of those things are put in and make this vagar, and then you put in the tomatoes and onions. There are recipes, but then it's such a folk process. It's just tell the stuff and pop it in and cook it, and then you cook it down. It does not take very long because if they're small, they cook very quickly. Well, that's just off the top of my head.
Okay. I'm looking here at a website that I have used quite a lot. And for people who do have access to the internet and you like to cook, it might be something that you could check out. It's called Epicurious. And what they have on the website is recipes that have been in a lot of the big cooking magazines. And so what you can do is if there's some particular ingredient like kohlrabi, you can just type in kohlrabi and it will give you recipes.
Oh,
and
yes.
Here's one that actually harkens back to what we were talking about last time because it's for stuffed. kohlrabi.
A stuffed kohlrabi.
They're taking the kohlrabi and they're scooping it out, yes. And then they're making a stuffing. And it has things like it's got some rice, it's got ground pork, it has seasonings, it has a little bit of tomato paste. And basically, it's making up a stuffing, and then they're scooping it out and putting that in there and then cooking it that way.
Baking it.
Baking it.
That's also a recommendation I have for your chayote problem. Almost identical. Almost identical. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
We've got folks to talk to.
We do.
Goodness.
Doyle Moore is here with us. It's our monthly show on cooking. And this morning we thought we would do, as a listener has suggested, some problem solving here. If you have a particular vegetable produce item, you've seen it in the store, you've thought, well, you know, I'd like to try to
sort of unknown vegetables, yeah, I have known
wacky vegetables, as I said yesterday to one of my colleagues. It's something that you've seen and you think, well, you know, I'd like to try that, but I'm just not really sure what to do with it. You call in and you can tell us about it, then we'll see if we can come up with some recipes. Or maybe you also just have a recipe you'd like to share for one of these things we've talked about, kohlrabi, or we've talked about eggplant. I was the one who said chayote. Maybe there's something else that you know.
Artichokes are a puzzle to some people.
Ah, there's another one. You know, what do we do with this stuff? So here we go. Several other people ready to go in line. First is Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi. For doing the program.
Yeah, it's your fault.
It is your fault. I recognize your voice.
Well, somebody heard me talking, asking for that, and heard me talking about eggplant, and brought eggplant to a potluck.
Oh, yes.
And his recipe is from Nepal. I don't know how similar this is to the Middle Eastern baba ganoush, but the eggplant isn't as mushy. It's more chunky. So this is from Nepal, and the recipe is from Sagar. And what he does is he bakes the eggplant for about 45
yes.
minutes in the oven until it's soft. Peels the skin.
Question, is it sliced in half and placed upside down to bake, or is it baked whole?
Well, he didn't tell me.
Well, either one of those are two variations, so that's that's something.
I would cut it in half because
yes.
I would assume that would help it bake faster.
Mm-hmm.
He just gave me the recipe this morning. I haven't had a chance to try it yet. Peels the skin and removes the seeds, and then mashes the flesh.
Yes.
Now, when I've had baba ganoush, it's been like it was put through a blender or a food processor.
Yes.
It was mashed with a fork, and it ends up with a lovely light green color. It's very attractive visually. Then he takes some oil and heats some fenugreek seeds in it until they're dark and they pop.
Oh, yes. All right.
And he said that flavors the oil.
Do the seeds pop?
I think he said that they did.
And it's fenugreek.
Right.
Okay.
And once I bought fenugreek at an Italian market when we lived in Philadelphia, and I never could figure out
what to do with it.
I just felt like I had to buy something that I hadn't had before, and that week it was fenugreek, and I had some very old fenugreek. Then he takes some green onions and chops them up, some cilantro leaves. He said about half a cup, but I don't know about how much. No, half a cup of green onions about. I don't know how much cilantro leaves.
I'd say probably at least that much, a half a cup, even more.
Then he has some, I assume it's fresh ginger that he...
Fresh ground ginger, yes.
It was either the ginger or the garlic you talked about julienning it. And then some coriander powder and some lemon juice. And he mixes this all together and lets it sit for half an hour and then serves it cold.
I think you'll like that a lot.
Oh, it was
because
very tasty.
It would be good then served maybe with pita bread or even some particularly exciting dry crackers. It would be good as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't use it as a main course. It's awfully rich what you're making, but it would be a nice accompaniment to a lot of things. It could be a side dish, but it also would be a very nice starter for supper. Yeah.
I would imagine it's also the kind of thing you could make, you could bake the eggplant along with something else and then do the rest of the recipe some other time.
Oh, well, yes. Well, yes. In fact, you could, after you scrape it out, you could put it aside and wait until the next day, put it in the refrigerator and let it stay while you're baking other things. Yes, it would work. Probably about 45 or 50 minutes with the baking. Of the eggplant.
Yeah, that's what you said, about 45 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And it surpassed the supreme test, my husband.
Ah! That's great. That's great.
Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Let's continue. We'll go here
That's an exotic recipe. I like that.
Champagne, line number two. Hello.
Hi. I have a question and a comment, and I'll just make the comment first and ask the question and hang up. But when you talk about Indian cooking, I'm half Indian. Just to give a basic primer for a lot of people, I mean, you can almost cook any vegetables in one way, Indian style.
Yes.
And that is just, you know, you take some garlic, onions, and ginger chopped up.
Yes.
It's the simplest way. Start the onions. When they're a little soft, throw in the garlic and ginger, and throw in whatever combination of spices you choose, because in the traditional Indian household, the old way, the women would make their own garam masala, which
is
literally, you know, a mixture of all the different spices themselves. So anyone can tell you that you're not making it right, but actually, they're all different.
They're all different, yes. It's personal.
You go to the store and you buy garam masala and whatever else you want, but I make literally anything that way.
Yes.
Okra or...
Okra, potatoes, peas,
squashes.
Yes, that would be an added comment. But I'm particularly fond of those baby okras cooked
great.
That way.
But the trick is, like in Cajun cooking with the roux, when you get your garlic, onions, and ginger going, you let the spices in and you cook them for a couple of minutes.
And you cook them to release
them. Just, I don't know what the word is, aromate or whatever.
Well, it is. Those are called the aromatics, yeah.
They just release their flavor into the oil.
They do indeed.
And then you just add whatever vegetables in to keep it from drying out. You just add a little water now and again, and it works just fine. I made what's called aloo saag in Punjabi, which is potatoes.
Potatoes, yes.
Last night, the very same way. Well, my question about okra is I've tried to cook bhindi because my aunts make it a lot.
Yes.
I love it. But what I found, maybe I'm using two... okra that's too large. It gets really gummy. You know, does that go away eventually? Am I doing it wrong?
No, my answer to that is if you're the way I like to cook the bhindi is to not cut the. Don't cut it, and it's very small, so you can eat that cap end and everything, and then all of that gelatinous kind of gooey stuff won't come out.
Right.
Then it's inside the okra. That's one of the reasons I like the small baby. And besides, it is tender. But if you were to do it, don't use old okra because it's just too tough and not so good.
Okay.
I think that if you're going to cut it, though, you could take some and cut it in about two or three pieces. I would... I don't know what I would do to keep that. I would just let it happen because it's part of the juices.
Uh-huh.
But I would probably add a lot of other vegetables like tomatoes.
Right.
And then the tomatoes will soak that
right.
up, and you won't be so surprised to sort of get juicy tomato taste with that.
All right.
And cook it that way.
Yeah. Oh, one other way to cook eggplant, which is really easy if you don't mind eating the skin. I don't mind eating the skin.
I don't either.
Is you take usually a small eggplant, and you slice them up into long strips. Put them skin side down on a pan and just brush the lemon with a little olive oil, sprinkle them with your mixture of Indian spices, whatever you like, with garam masala, cumin, etc., and bake it for, you know, half an hour in the oven until it's soft and eat it like an appetizer.
Oh, that's
it's
good.
Fantastic.
That's good. I have a Chinese recipe for eggplant that I might give today, so you can listen for that.
Well, thanks very much.
Well, thank you.
I suppose you could also grill that on the barbecue grill, with a charcoal grill.
You want to take the little baby eggplant and slice it in a fan and then shape the fan out and then do it on the grill.
Yeah.
It's easier to control.
You've got this
big hand that you're flopping over. It's really good. But a grilled eggplant would be very good. Yes.
Okay. To next, Aurora, line number four. Hello.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Hi. What's for lunch?
Well, not too much. I made a split pea soup with ham yesterday.
Mm. Good.
I did have gumbo over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Hate to get back to the kohlrabi again, but this wonderful recipe is in my book about kohlrabi baked with ham. Now, I think that would do a lot for kohlrabi.
It would, because it's not a strong taste. It's just an interesting texture. Are they baked whole, or are they...
You take a half a cup of butter,
uh-huh.
8 kohlrabi diced,
ooh.
Half a pound of ham chopped, parsley, 3 egg yolks, a cup of cream. Oh, my.
Great.
2 tablespoons of flour, salt to taste, pepper, and a dash of mace. And you melt the butter, add the kohlrabi and salt, sauté for 10 minutes. That's what I like about European cooking. They always saute the vegetables first.
Well, that is because that technique is what makes a ragu. Sauteed vegetables or sauteed meat, and then go ahead and cook it after that is a whole technique. And
isn't
so you're right.
Uh
huh.
And it just enhances everything.
Uh huh.
Just wonderful. Well, you grease a baking dish with remaining butter. Put in a layer of kohlrabi, sprinkle with ham and parsley. Repeat the layers, ending with kohlrabi. Then you mix the egg yolks with cream, salt, pepper, and mace, and pour over the kohlrabi and bake in an oven 350 for 30 minutes. Now, I think that would be a real good
That would be good, and if the cream, if you're anxious about that much cream, I would use the new product that I'm very fond of, which is fat-free, half and half. That my favorite brand of it is Land O'Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get that in small containers or in quart containers. And it cooks really good. I don't like it I wouldn't put it on cereal. I don't like that taste on the cereal. But, boy, when you're cooking with it, it is a good, good substitute, and there's no fat in it. And so look for that.
Then they also have a kohlrabi kraut, making kohlrabi into a kraut.
Well, it would. A salt, and then it's going to ferment a bit. Huh.
The thing that I've seen at vegetable stores is that celery that has an anise flavor.
Yes, fennel.
Now, what do you do with that?
Well, that's David's question. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
First, you get an Italian cookbook.
Okay,
And then look up in that. And I have a recipe for fennel from De Medici's cookbook. If I can get around to it, I'll do that.
Thank you much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Well, do you want to do that?
No, let's talk to folks.
Okay, we'll talk to other folks. Okay, well, we also want to remind people about Midway already.
Oh, my.
Halfway through. This is our monthly show on cooking. Doyle Moyer is here, the man we like to call our chef in residence. He comes by once a month. We always have a good time doing different cooking topics and exchanging tips and recipes. And the idea here did indeed come from a listener who said, you know, let's talk about dealing with vegetables, but try to pick those things that maybe we're not all that familiar with, or you know, perhaps it's something that you know one way to make it, and you'd say, well, I'd like some other things to do with this. And we have mentioned just a few things. We talked a little bit about eggplant. We talked about kohlrabi. Maybe we'll get into fennel, which is something that's used a lot in Italian cooking, but I'm not sure very many other places. And whatever's on your mind. 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Here's another caller in Urbana, line 3.
Hello.
Yes.
I was the lady that called last week about the caramel recipe. I just could not get to turn out.
Yes.
Did you happen to bring a caramel recipe?
Well, no. I'm sorry I didn't. I still considered as to what that is. Something is separating on you, and I don't know if – did you use milk or cream in your caramel?
It was just evaporated milk.
Evaporated milk.
Do you think maybe the heat was too high? It said high heat. Maybe if I just turn the heat down?
Well, because you see, you don't want to boil things like that. Yes, but you want to keep from boiling things, because the boiling is going to cause that cream and milk to separate. It might be the answer, okay. Because you're almost making like cheese when you boil milk. It will curdle and do some funny things. I haven't looked that up yet. I was gone.
Oh, okay.
I didn't do that. But I will still keep looking.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Well, let's go back here to line number one, and I think that's also a person in Urbana. Hello.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Doyle, a previous caller was mentioning garam masala.
Yes.
And he talked about putting spices in it. Do you have a recipe of what spices? Or I wonder if he could call back and tell us.
Well,
garam masala.
The garam masala is a word that means hot spices. So it's kind of a combination of various. Let's see. Give me 10 seconds here.
Well,
I'll get to page 95.
It can have cumin, coriander,
and
nutmeg, mace.
And cinnamon.
Ginger.
Cumin, coriander, what? Mace?
probably could have, could it not have nutmeg or mace?
Nutmeg.
Clove, cinnamon, probably could have fenugreek, ginger.
You're right so far. Keep going. Black pepper.
Could I have cayenne?
Yeah, not cayenne, I don't think, but black pepper.
Okay.
And bay leaves.
Bay leaves.
And bay leaves and cinnamon and cardamom and coriander and cumin. Yeah, those as either seeds. And now, as it was pointed out, these are from all kinds of places. But what it means is warm and hot spices is what garam is translated to be. So it is all those very, very heavy spice. But you make up a cup and a half of it, and you only use it by the teaspoonful.
Uh-huh.
Or at most a tablespoonful. And you can also buy blends already made. Each area has a different style of garam masala. But what it is all of these hot seeds: cumin, coriander, cardamom, and cinnamon, and cloves. See,
okay.
So those are really spicy too. Whole cloves,
uh-huh.
And some of them are made up of seeds that you then toast in the oven and then kind of grind in a mortar and pestle. But it can almost be any combination. So what I would do is go to the library and find a book on Indian cooking and then find out. I've got about four recipes from four different parts of India, from Gujarat, Punjab, and where's the other one from? There's another one in here. And they're all very similar, and but mainly they're very aromatic and they're very spicy. So that's what you're doing, but to save you the trouble, you can go buy one ready made. I think there is garam masala already mixed up and rather good. You want to get a fresh one, don't get an old stale one. And after about a year, at least a year, throw it away and get a new one. So you can do that.
Okay, and then when you put these all together, you grind them.
Then they would be ground. If you had a little grinder, like a coffee grinder, a little automatic coffee grinder, that's an easy way of doing it. The harder way would be in a stone pestle with a mortar, and then you kind of grind them up. But you use them ground. But sometimes they're also used whole, and mainly they are when you're using them, you want to heat them. You don't have to heat them in the original manufacture because that makes the oils volatile and they go away. But when you're cooking with them, one of the things you want to do is heat them up. Sometimes it's done in oil, and then you put the vegetables and things in. But look for it. It's a good thing to have, and it really is a different kind of taste.
Would you heat any of the seeds before you grind it up?
Not. Yes, you can. You sometimes put them in the oven and then heat them in the oven that way, and then grind them immediately, and then use them immediately.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Here's one, just again for difference, as my little sister used to say. It's a pretty simple recipe. This was from Gourmet magazine just February. It is coriander, cumin, cardamom, cinnamon, and black pepper. And what they say is you get the seeds, coriander seeds and cumin seeds and cardamom pods, if you can. Toast the coriander and the cumin in a small dry skillet over moderate heat, stirring occasionally until fragrant, about 2 minutes. Cool, then finely grind with remaining spices in a grinder, and that's it. And I think that some people would say that you'll get better flavor if you do instead of getting it already ground, if you can get the seeds,
yeah, and the seeds are available in town.
Where they sell bulk spices, you can
that and
can
yes
like
and
them.
And you can buy the packages of seeds in at some place like Amco that has a big area of Indian cooking. And you have just described the Punjabi garam masala recipe, because I'm reading it while you're saying it, so they've taken it from this book. I have a very good Indian book. It's called Classic Indian Vegetarian and Grain Cooking by Julie Shani. And that's a very good, very good book. It has these four recipes in it. So go to the library. Use the library.
I think what you say is true, that it can be, and as the caller said, the spices that you like, use the one that you like. You know, you can make up any mixture pretty much, I I think almost anything that you
It ends up being that. You don't want it to be totally one direction, but each area of the country has a different direction. For example, Gujarat puts fennel seeds in it, but then you don't put fennel seeds in the Punjabi.
Well, I would guess, though, and you tell me if you think this is wrong, I would guess that they all have cumin, coriander, and cardamom.
Yes,
at least those three are going to be in all of them.
Yes, and black pepper.
And black pepper, okay.
And then whether you put cinnamon and cloves in, that's some other thought.
Sort of up to you. All right. Very good.
Good.
Okay. Very, very good. Let's talk with, we got somebody on a car phone here, line two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay. I picked up about 2 years ago at the farmer's market, sort of long yellow spiny thing. I think it was a Japanese bitter melon. What do you actually do with it? Stir frying, it didn't work.
You think it was a bitter melon?
I believe it was a Japanese.
What color was it?
Green, yellow.
Oh, green. Yeah, green. I thought it was sort of a yellow one. What you were calling bitter melon in the Japanese cuisine? I don't know. It is used in Chinese cooking. I would look in a Chinese book for bitter melon, and generally a soup is made out of bitter melon. So you wouldn't bake it. It would be something that would be chopped up and then boiled a little bit in a soup and a broth. Other vegetables are added to it. It isn't all by itself, but it becomes a squash kind of a plant, and you would use it like a zucchini or a yellow squash if you were mixing the way you would expect it to taste. But I would look in a Chinese book for bitter melon. I don't write offhand know exactly that. Let me look real quick. I happen to have a Chinese book here, and I'll see if he did it or not. Let's see. Yes, you were going to say?
Stir frying, it didn't work. It
no, I don't think stir frying it would. I believe that it would be something you'd want in a soup and cook it. Yes, I don't see anything in the Chinese book I have here.
Well, then I'll just have to check the library then.
I would indeed do that. No, I don't have any melon or bitter melon in this one, but this is a Hunan style of cooking, and I don't think that they have that. So.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet. Right, bye-bye.
Thank you. And we'll go to Downs next for another caller here, line number four. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I've got fennel recipes for you.
Oh, good.
One is to cook lentils. This is a lentil salad with fennel.
And the fennel's then fresh?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Great.
Dried lentils. I like to use the green ones.
Yes.
That you can get in various places. I know that World Harvest Foods has them.
Yes, they do. And I was going to say that myself. That's where I get them. And they're in a little box and very exotic.
Yeah,
they're,
and they hold their shape better.
Yes.
They're very pretty. And you cook those the way you would ordinarily cook lentils. I do them about 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah, they're very quick, aren't they?
Yeah. While they're cooking, trim the green tops off the fennel bulb, and then take some of the ferny top.
Yes.
And wrap it in paper towels and put it in the refrigerator.
Oh, save it.
It looks like wet hair.
Yes, it
when
does.
You wash it.
Yes, it does.
But it
or like dill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets better. And then trim the fennel bulb. Trim the top. You have to trim the bottom off, and take away any tougher discarded layers It just seems like sometimes you're throwing all of it away.
Yes.
But there's really quite a bit left.
And then when you slice it thin, it makes a big a big quantity, yes.
Right. Cut it into quarters and then cut out that solid core, like you do a cabbage, and then slice it lengthwise into thin slivers.
Good.
Put the lentil, let's see, 2 tablespoons of olive oil and 2 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar. Into a bowl, a large bowl, mix them together, put the lentils in, then add the fennel, and to that add 4 green onions sliced.
All right.
Salt and pepper to taste.
Okay.
And then get out your fennel tops.
And then you're going to chop them up.
Chop those up.
Yes.
And add those.
Oh, that'll be pretty too, won't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, all of that.
And,
gee, that sounds good.
It's a very, very nice flavor. And then you can garnish it with some crumbled goat cheese when
Ooh.
You're ready to serve it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just adds a little bit of tang.
And with the balsamic vinegar and olive oil, you're making kind of a salad dressing with that. I mean, you're just dressing
right.
it with those two things. That's going to be good.
Right.
And the lentils were cooled down. They aren't
right.
hot, are they?
Well, I put them into the oil and vinegar, actually.
Oh, into the oil and vinegar while they're hot and let them cool down.
Right.
Yes, they will absorb more. Yeah.
And so they absorb those flavors. But what you need to do is make sure that you taste it before you serve it. Because it may need a little more vinegar, a little more salt and pepper.
Oh,
I don't think it's salt and pepper, but you want to...
Yeah, just a little bit of salt and pepper, and there's no other. And since it tastes so strong of the anise flavor or licorice flavor, that's really very fresh, very
right.
fresh. So you don't need anything else. You don't put oregano or basil or anything like that in because that's too strong. Oh, that's very good. Thank you.
Sometimes I'll serve it in a lettuce-lined bowl and put cherry tomatoes around the outside, and that looks pretty.
That really sounds good. And you're getting protein, aren't you? With the lentils.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's very good. Thank you. I don't know that recipe at all. But boy, I have some green lentils at home. I think I may give that a try.
One thing I want to say about fennel is it used to scare me.
Yes.
Because I thought, boy, do I want things to taste like licorice?
Well, you think not, but it's a surprise, isn't it? Because
it is.
you're not really eating the licorice, but you get that nice hint.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's like I like fennel. I like the fennel seed.
Yes,
this is like that, just fresh, and it's so nice. I've got tons of recipes for fennel. I just love it.
And the crunch is very much like celery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good taste
too.
You can braise it. You could braise a whole fennel bulb, and that would be quite tasty because it'd be softer and it'd be good. Yes. Well, thank you. That's very good.
If you have time, I'll give you another one.
Well,
but only if you have time.
We've got two more people.
We have one other person.
One other person.
We could probably if it's not
hurry.
Real long.
Sure.
Okay.
Go.
This is one that I made up my very own self, and because somebody gave me olives that were stuffed with preserved lemons.
Oh.
You can find those. They're wonderful. But it's not necessary. You take boneless, skinless chicken breasts and squeeze a lemon over them and let them sit while you're making the other stuff.
Okay.
Chop about, 2/3 of a box of those grape tomatoes.
Yes.
And cut up fennel just the way I said it before, so that you're cutting it up.
Little slices.
Little thin slices. And chop some green olives.
Okay.
And I would use imported green olives. I think the Spanish ones or something are going to be too strong for this. Again, save some of the fennel tops.
All right.
And chop them up. Saute the chicken breasts. However you normally would, in butter.
In butter, yes.
Yeah, and you can use butter and olive oil if you want to, cut down on
That'd
the butter.
That would be a good combination, yes.
But a little bit of the butter flavor is really good. When the chicken breasts are done, take them out and keep them warm. Pour out extra grease if you need to, and put the fennel in.
Okay, so you're going to saute that in the rest of it.
Saute that fennel until it's done the way you want it to be done. Put the then add the tomatoes and the olives, and just stir those up until they're hot.
So it is. It is. You could. I could do that in my walk.
Yes, you could.
That'd be good.
And then just put that out on a serving platter, and put the chicken breasts on top.
On top of that, yes.
I often slice them. So that you keep the chicken breast in a piece, but it's in slices then on top of that.
That'd be a very fresh taste, wouldn't
it?
Because it's not cooked down,
Lovely.
It's not stewed long, and it's not wet. That would be a very nice taste.
You just want to heat the tomatoes, but not start.
Yes. Aren't those little grape tomatoes a great thing?
They are.
Oh, I'm very happy
and
to find those.
And that sweetness with the lentils and the lemon. You can squeeze a little more lemon on it if you want. Lemony flavor because I use the lemons. In the olives.
Might
need a little bit more lemon.
That sounds awfully good. That's a nice combination. I like that.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm.
So well, try thanks. Fennel, David.
Thanks. Well, I have had fennel. I guess I just haven't done, you know, I have in my family, there's a lot of interest in Italian cooking, so I certainly have experienced it. I guess I've not, in my own kitchen, I just haven't really.
I don't cook it as much as I use it raw in salads.
That's probably the way that I've had it.
Sometimes that is just, I mean, just fennel only. And then with a vinaigrette over it. It's such a nice, fresh taste.
Have you had the fennel and orange salads?
No, but that sounds...
That's a good comment.
But I may. That sounds awfully good. Well, thank you very much.
Okay,
very good. We have about 10 minutes left in this part.
The fennel connection.
Of Vokes 580. We're talking about wacky, weird vegetables, stuff that when you see them in the store, you think, well, that looks kind of interesting, but I don't know how to cook that. That's the theme. Maybe you have a recipe to share, or there is indeed something you've seen and you'd say, well, I'd like to try that, but I'm not really sure what to do with it. Or, yes, I know one thing that I can do with that, but I'd like to have, you know, something else beside that one
increase
thing.
Increase your repertoire.
Yeah. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And to Urbana again, line number one. Hello.
Is that me?
Yes.
Doyle, would you give us the title of the author of that Indian cookbook one more time?
Of the Indian cookbook, yes. That is Classic Indian Vegetarian and Grain Cooking. It's a long
Indian.
Classic Indian Vegetarian and Grain Cooking. And
the author?
And the author is Julie, J-U-L-I-E, S-A-H-N-I.
Shani.
Yeah, Shani, or something,
Shani.
Or Sani.
And S-A-H-N-I?
Yes. Okay. And I'm looking for it is William Morrow and Company, New York, is the publisher. And the date of this was, let's see, the first edition, 1985, so it's probably still quite available.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, it's a good book, and it's vegetarian, and it has all those answers in it.
And I'm sure if you would go to the Urbana Library, you probably would find a number of Indian cooking books
and
there.
Heaven forbid you go to the bookstores and kind of browse. One of these days, I'm sure they're going to have an automatic copier that you can do that.
You can just sneak in there and just.
Well, I have to browse quite a bit to make sure which book I want.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
And I always end up getting one. But there are a lot of sources, and it's very exciting to kind of wander through and see some of the new things.
We have about 5 minutes left. We talked a lot about chayote, so maybe we want to talk about chayote.
I want to give you my chayote recipe, or the one.
I have that book.
Oh, you do? You have this one?
Well, that's Rick Bayless.
Yes, it is. This is the one that he uses, not he uses. Yes, this is a good book, but I'm stuttering here. I want to – he has something else where he uses zucchinis. But at the bottom of the article, it says that you can put the chayotes in it. And then I wanted to put it together. Maybe that isn't the right one. Well, I'll give it to you the way I know it. I won't even use a book.
Okay.
This would be one that you'd take the chayotes, peel them, and cut them, take the seeds out, and then make them in small dice. And then when they're in small dice, they'll cook faster. And in this case, you wouldn't have to parboil them, although if you did, it would just simply speed up the cooking. And then you cook them in, again, I would use my wok. I would use a skillet. And it's the combination of the chayotes and fresh corn or frozen corn and onions and a can of hot chilies, or if you have your own hot chilies, not hot. I don't mean hot. The green chilies, not hot chilies. Green chilies that come in a can are the best flavor to make all this come together. Then they're quickly sort of fluffed around until the onions are cooked down, and then the chayote is not really browned, but it's beginning to cook. And then when just before you're ready to serve it, then pour over a little bit of cream and incorporate that in. Not a lot, probably only about a half of a pint, No, less than that. A
quarter cup, maybe?
A quarter of a cup would just be about right. You want just that nice flavor to go together. And that is very much like the recipe for calabacitas, which is a gourd-shaped zucchini-like thing. But in the books that I've been paying attention to in the Mexican cooking and in other cooking, these things are so well. The Sweethearts of America even say that you can cross over and use zucchinis with calabacitas with chayotes and everything. So they're all in that kind of taste because they aren't strong by themselves, and so you add these other flavors with it. I had gotten that one that I would recommend to you very highly.
Okay, so could I use that just in a vegetable saute like I would use
yes,
a zucchini?
Like you would use a zucchini, yeah. And you wouldn't have, but I'd want to. I haven't cut one open for so long. I don't know how firm the flesh is. If it's just really hard and firm, because sometimes the recipe asks to cook it for an hour, boil it, and uh-huh. So I'm thinking, wait a minute, that would mean that it's really very very firm. And, of course, I told you that when I was researching on this, I come to find out a long-lost piece of information that I had no idea of, is that the chayote is also called a mirlitan, which is a very popular piece to have in New Orleans. And they are scooped out exactly as you described the kohlrabi. They are boiled and then they're scooped out, and the flesh and ham and shrimp are put together, and then breadcrumbs on top of that, and then put back in the oven and baked. So again, a stuffed zucchini recipe they're all so similar like that. So you can be inventive.
Okay.
We can do Iron Chef and invent our own.
Ooh, the heat will be on.
I like it.
Well, I guess we'll probably have to close it up here for this time.
Well, the old clock on the wall is sort of doing it. Well, this has been fun.
Well, it's pretty much always fun when you're
well,
here.
Well, it is always fun. It is true. But maybe we'll have to do it again.
All right.
I wish this was a two-hour show today.
Well, maybe one of these days we'll have to think about doing. We have a little fun drive coming up one of these days.
Oh,
maybe
yes.
We'll do a little two-hour show for
all
that.
Right. All right.
Dwayne Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence. He's here once a month, always on the first Wednesday at 10 o'clock. We talk about cooking, and we always have a good time.